been great tonight to be in the house of God, be around good music. And I was talking to someone today, and we were talking about how important it is and part of the Christian life. You know, when God tells us to be filled with the Spirit, He didn't suggest that we be filled with the Spirit. He just said, be filled with the Spirit. He just expected that, you know what, as a believer, that's what we were going to do. And when you go and look at the pattern and the outline, the very first thing that he mentions about being filled with the Spirit is music. Very first thing. Why? It's such a controlling element in our life. And I'm not talking about just any music. I'm talking about godly music. If you'll notice, he used psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Psalms, hey, just full of praise, right? We need to be listening and singing songs that praise God. Then he talked about hymns, reverence, just all kinds of things about how good God is and great God is. And then he talked about spiritual songs. You know what? Things that minister to the Spirit. That's the reason we keep the music program like we have it, because that type of music ministers to the spirit of people. It prepares them. It opens the spirit up for the receiving of the Word of God. Music plays such a great part. And that's the reason, listen folks, when you come, congregational singing, you need to get involved. You need to sing. You need to open your mouth and just let her fly and enjoy singing praises to the Lord. Well, take your Bible, if you would, Judges chapter 6. Music doesn't have anything to do with what I'm going to preach about tonight. I just figured I'd throw that out there, because music is such a great element of worship and praise to the Lord. But Judges chapter 6, I want to read you beginning in verse number 11. We're going to read down through verse number 24. If you'll stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God. Judges chapter 6. Now, I started tonight as I was leaving the office. I looked over there and saw that big old 35-pound Bible. I started to bring that thing to the pulpit tonight and lay it up here, and then have a couple of you deacons come up here and read for us, you know, out of that old King James, and without rehearsing. And one of these days I am. I'm just going to bring that big old Bible up here and flop it down right here and attempt to read out of it. But Judges chapter 6, I think you'll recognize the story when you turn there. This is the story that of how God used a man by the name of Gideon in such a great way. And the country and the people of God of Israel were being suppressed and being, for lack of a better way to put it, irritated by a group of people called the Midianites. And I want to pick up our reading in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, well, I guess so, right? Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, notice this, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord. And I want you to notice this, because here's the title of the message tonight. And he called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now I want you to go back, if you would, and I want you to look in verse 23 and verse 24. Did you notice Gideon, we'll look at it in just a moment, but Gideon came face to face with the angel of the Lord. Now many times when you see the angel of the Lord mentioned in the Bible, we believe that that was an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. It's what you call a Christophany, which means Jesus appearing in the Old Testament. We believe that he appeared to Gideon, and Gideon in this situation, he was not a mighty man of valor, yet God called him one. But notice in verse 23, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Now let me stop and say this. Remember where Jesus said that again in the New Testament? Remember when he appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, he appeared to them with the doors closed and he said, peace be unto thee. And then notice that Gideon built an altar and he called the name of that altar Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. The Lord send peace. Father, bless our time together in the Word of God tonight. Open our hearts up to what you have for us, and we'll give you the praise for what you should do this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, we read those words, and many times we read over the word peace, and we read over something like this when there's such emphasis put on this one phrase, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. By the way, believer, isn't that really the only place the people of God's going to find the ingredient of the Christian life that we so long for is in the peace of God? And having, listen, because Jesus Christ has made peace with God, we now can have the peace of God in our life. And here's a man by the name of Gideon that was faced with a situation and confronted with a situation that he was not a man of valor, he was not a man of war. But here's God approaching him with such a thing and simply said unto him, peace be unto thee. You know, the scripture says in Romans chapter 8, even our spirit groans within us. That we, listen, we're groaning, that spirit groans for that peace, that longing to see the Lord. Because until we see the Lord and we're like him and we're out of this body of flesh, that's the only time that we're going to have eternal peace. Boy, we long for that, don't we? Now, how many of you ever driven up behind a car and seen the bumper sticker, pray for peace? Well, you can pray for peace on earth all you want, but it ain't coming until Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom, and that's the only time that peace is going to come to the earth and from that point forward. Now, the thing about it is, church, that word shalom, that main meaning of that word, the main intent is what I just read to you, because Jesus, the angel of the Lord, had prefaced it by simply saying, peace be unto thee. So when he said, Jehovah, God, shalom, Jehovah, God of peace. You know, what better place to find the peace that you need when you're going through difficult times? Remember we talked about Sunday night, about ministering while you're hurting and healing? Boy, I'm telling you, there's something about just embracing the peace of God. A peace can come over you when you have that tight relationship with God. But I begin to look at the word shalom, and many times those of you that have been to Israel and people say shalom to you while you're there, I looked into that, and when they say that, it can mean various things. The main intent is to say peace be to you. But our Jewish friends tell us that there is a deeper meaning to the word shalom in its foundational meaning. It can also mean completeness, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, harmony, absence of discord. So it can be used in a number of variety of situations. You know, if a person's hurting and they're going through a difficult time, you could use the word shalom to them. Tranquility, completeness, safety, soundness. Simply is telling them that, listen, that's where you find that rest in Christ in the time of need. You see, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. And remember what the Bible said we could find there? We could find peace and help in time of need. Hey, let me tell you something. So much of the people, so many people run to the world looking for the very thing that the world knows nothing about. The world knows nothing about peace. The world knows, listen, the only thing the world knows is about conflict. Oh, that's all it knows. All it knows is about conflict and hurt. It doesn't know anything about peace. And yet, people run to the world looking for the very thing. God says that that is what He is. That's what He desires, the child of God, to run to Him in that time. Mamas, when you've been out maybe shopping or you've been out to the park or something, and maybe your little ones, you get out around people and maybe somebody they don't know, and maybe it's a little bit fearful to them. Sometimes, you know what they'll do? You ever seen the little one? They'll run back to mama and grab mama's leg and stuff. Why? They want that closeness. They want that security. They want that peace. They desire to feel that in their heart and in their soul. Let me remind you that Isaiah even called the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. You know, peace literally encompasses just about all of the attributes of God. Think about who God is and what He means to a believer. And one of the things that, one of the greatest gifts that we'll have when we're absent from this body and present with the Lord is eternal, sinless, forever, immortal, eternal peace with God forever. Well, in our story tonight, in the context in which this is used, Jehovah Shalom, and the angel of the Lord speaks unto Gideon and says, peace be unto you, fear not, thou shalt not die. He comes to him in the context, Israel is now under distress from its enemy, the Midianites, who are descendants of a relationship between Abraham and his wife Keturah. The Midianites were considered nomads. They kind of roamed the lands, spoiling the possessions of people that were weaker than they. And a lot of times what they would do is they would join up with other armies. So basically they were hirelings for the most part. But they were nomads. They would travel and look for situations to where they could go in and take advantage of people. That's what they were doing to Israel at this time. Israel was under distress because of their refusal to fear and to trust the Lord. Would you look in Scripture? Go back to chapter 6, verse 10. The Scripture says, "And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." And so guess who pops up? The Midianites, judging the people of God once again. Folks, you know what? The easiest life. You say, "Oh, preacher, I so desire peace." Then let me give you just a small clue of how to find it. Live for God. Obey the Scriptures. Be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there. Build a devotional time with God. That's where you'll find the peace of God. You're not going to find it outside in the world. Peace doesn't come from having a job, paying $100,000 a year. It's not where peace is. Peace is in the Lord and that time, that intimate time that you have with Christ. Well, God hears the cry of the people of the Lord because they're under distress, and the angel of the Lord then appears to Gideon, who's threshing wheat secretly. Why? Because the nomads, remember I told you, those Midianites who tend to find people weaker than they are to take advantage and pillage their possessions and spoil their homes, they would have taken this wheat from him if they had found out where he was threshing. Well, Gideon has a few questions when the angel of the Lord appears to him. Now let me stop and say this. The circumstances look pretty rotten right now because the Midianites are pillaging everything. They're harassing the people of God, and it doesn't look very positive. So the angel of the Lord, God comes unto him and says, "Oh, thou mighty man of valor." Now, if you'll notice, Gideon doesn't even address that statement. The first thing that comes out of his mouth is the first thing that comes out of most of our mouths when the situations look really dark and look really grim. Here's what he says. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" Okay, if you're telling me that God's with me and peace be to me, then would you explain to me why all of this is happening to us? Why are our lands being pillaged and our fields burned? Why are our homes being spoiled if the Lord's with us? You say, "Well, preacher, I'd never do that to God." Is that right? Let God put you in a crunch time a little bit and things start looking like they're going downhill. And you know what most people do? "Lord, I thought you was with me. And if you be with me, then why is all of this happening?" Have you ever asked God, "Why is all of this happening to me?" Because we all think, you know, we're pretty good people. I'm a pretty good person. And then, you know, basically on our scale and our level of Christianity, hey, you know what? For the most part, we kind of look, most of us probably look at ourselves, you know, hey, we're probably, you know, 6, 7, 8. See, we never measure our Christianity in the eyes of Christ. We always measure it based on how we see it. And so guess what Gideon did? Gideon was measuring everything based on how he saw things. And so guess what came out of his mouth? "If God be for us, then why has all this befallen us?" Look at the next thing he says. "Oh, and where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of?" Now, our daddy's told us that he split a Red Sea. We ain't seen him split no Red Sea around here. Our fathers told us about all of these wonderful things and miracles that he does. We haven't seen anything around here. All we've seen is these stinking nomads, these Midianites, pillaging everything and harassing us. That's all we've seen around here. We hear all these stories about the deliverance of the children of God from Egypt. He hasn't delivered us. We've been in turmoil with these people for a long time. Where be all the miracles? Look, if you would, he says, "Where be the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?" Now listen to this. "But now the Lord hath forsaken us." He's abandoned us. Now folks, listen. Gideon didn't know what God had in store for the future. God hadn't abandoned him. God hadn't abandoned the people of God. You say, "But oh, it looks so bad." Well, the reason it looks so bad is because you can't see what's going to happen in the future. You see, again, let me remind you that many times we grade everything and see everything from only our viewpoint. We don't realize that there's a God in heaven that's able to see the beginning to the end. That's the reason he could say, "Peace be unto thee." Why? Because he could see beginning and the end. Gideon could not see that. So here's from his vantage point, he saw the Lord hath forsaken us. Look what else he says. "And delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Well, God delivered us into the enemy. So you know what? I guess it's just the way it's going to be. Now listen, church people, and listen carefully. We cannot get the attitude that here we are in 2011, the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and we say, "Well, you know what? That's just the way the Bible said, preacher, things are going to happen." And so we might as well just don't fight against it. We just might as well just let it all go to pot. Because, by the way, it's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. And so what we do is we buy into the devil's plan that as believers, that you know what, let's just shut her down and let him take over. And yet that's not what our Bible says. Jesus left us a commission and he says, lo, and I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. He says, listen, I'm leaving the power of God behind. And he said, I'm giving you a comforter, the Holy Ghost of God, that can empower you to do what I'm commanding you to do. Now, Gideon was only seeing it from his perspective. Scoot down to verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Well, let me say this to you, believer. You're not going to save the world by yourself. But let me tell you what you can do. You can go and reach one person at a time, you know. May I say to you that Brother and Mrs. Downs, they're not going to reach Ethiopia by themselves. So you know what they do? They reach them one person at a time. And then God saves that person, educates that person, and then he goes and reaches somebody else. You see, we're not going to save the world by ourselves. But you know what we can do as Trinity Baptist Church? We can sure do our part and try to reach as many people as we can. Gideon said, hey, am I supposed to save all these people by myself? Just me? Now, look if you would in verse 15 what he says. Behold, my family's poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. I don't even have any skills. I ain't even been to Bible college. How can I be a soul winner? How can I teach Sunday school? I ain't even been to college. I can't do any of this. I'm the least among the people. Isn't it amazing? Prior to Gideon ever saying this, God came to him and said, thou mighty man of valor. You know what was all entailed in that? You can do this. You can do this. Now, if it was only Gideon and Gideon's power, no. But he wasn't insinuating that Gideon was going to do it all by himself. He said, thou mighty man of valor, he came to him and said, listen, I'm going to use you to accomplish a purpose. All I need is you. Now, the angel of the Lord then speaks to Gideon and just simply says, surely I will be with thee. See in verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. He didn't say that you're going to defeat them with just by yourself, but he says it's going to seem as though you've done it by as one man. You're going to smite them. So guess what Gideon does again? Gideon pulls the same thing that most of us would pull. Are you sure you're talking about me? Yes, I'm talking about you. Okay, could you give me a sign? Could you kind of show me that actually you want to actually use me? Well, God decides that he'll go ahead and comfort Gideon and says, okay. Gideon says, okay, I tell you what, wait right here. Don't you go anywhere. I'll be right back. So he goes and fixes him up a little offering, some unleavened cakes, and goes in and takes care of an offering and brings that flesh and those cakes back. And the angel said, okay, just sit him on the rock right there. So he sits him on the rock, pours the oil out. There it is. And all the angels takes his staff, touches it. Fire comes out of the rock, consumes it. Angel's gone. That quick, Gideon goes from me to, boy, you know what? I think I just saw God face to face. Well, I would say so. I think I saw God face to face. Let me say something to you, church, tonight. Why is it that we so many times will get that Gideon syndrome when God has shown himself mighty over and over and over again, and then it comes to another situation in life and we still want him to show us a sign? We still want him to do something that he's already done before. And he's already proven himself over and over and over again. He doesn't want us to continue to live in doubt. The angel of the Lord speaks to Gideon. He leaves, but he speaks to him and says, peace be unto thee, fear not. Gideon understood what that meant. He understood what that word shalom meant. That word shalom, peace, safety, prosperity, absence of discord. You see, God was about to eliminate the Midianites. and he was about to use Gideon and his people to do so. Matter of fact, after this particular situation with Gideon, you don't see the Midianites no more. Why? God took care of them exactly like he said. But prior to doing so, you know what he had to do? He had to settle Gideon down. And he said, "Peace be unto thee." And then once God settled him down, he built an altar, and there he called that altar Jehovah Shalom. You know what? You know what? Going into the fight and the battle against the Midianites, I have the tendency to think that Gideon may have been at peace and may have thought, you know what? I just believe God. Because I just saw fire come out of a rock and consume this offering, and the angel of the Lord that was with me disappeared. Man, he had faith now. Now here's what I want to do, real quick. Jot these things down. I want to just give you a couple of things here about Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. First of all, I want to say to you, church, that God is our peace in conflict. He is our peace in conflict. Look in verse 23. "And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not." Look what he says. "Thou shalt not die." And may I say to you tonight, I realize the hurts can get deep and you think, you know what, I don't think I'm going to make it. I mean, things can get so out of whack, you think, you know what, I don't think I'm going to make it. You may think, you know what, I think I'm fixing to have a nervous breakdown. I don't know, I'm about to pull my hair out. I just don't know if I'm going to survive. Listen to me. What you need to do is just stand still. Let God come to you, and you know what he'll say? "Peace be unto thee." What he's saying is, I'm still got everything under control. I know the beginning from the end. You see, Gideon only saw it from his perspective. That's the reason he began to question God on all these issues. But I'm here to tell you, he's the God of peace in conflict. Listen to me, folks. You and I only have one enemy. That enemy is Satan. One enemy, one destroyer. That's it. We're not the enemy of each other. Hey, let me tell you something. People outside this church aren't our enemy. You got one enemy and one enemy alone. He said, "Oh, preacher, it's tough fighting the devil." Listen, be still, and you know what you'll hear? "Peace be unto thee. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." You know what you do? You know what that is? That's peace. That's grabbing a hold and saying, "You know what? I can do this. I can do this." You see, people are no more than Midianites. They're nomads who join up with Satan to afflict the people of God. That's all these Midianites were. They were hirelings. They were up for hire, and then they'd hook up with some of these stronger armies and go in there and fight with them and then get some of the spoil. Let me just say, church, that when conflict comes, just remember this. Write it down on a 3x5 card. Put it everywhere. Jehovah Shalom. Just put it on the dashboard of your car. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it in the closet. Put it everywhere. And remember, there's a God in heaven that is the God of all peace. He's got everything totally under control. He's not surprised by anything that happens in your life or mine. Matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, let me remind you that the Scripture says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Man, does that give you comfort to know that God cares about you? You mean to tell me that out of all the billions of people on planet Earth, God actually cares about you as an individual? Yes, He does. I'm telling you, folks, I meet them all the time. People get out there and, yeah, they get off the track, you know, they derail for God, and for some reason, old Satan gets them to thinking that God don't care about them anymore. But He does. He does. You know what you need to tell them? Jehovah Shalom. He's the God of peace. There's a God in heaven that cares about you. He created you. Matthew chapter 11. You'll find there in verse 28, "Come unto me," Jesus said, "all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But did you notice the preface that? Come unto me. Come to me. Don't go to the world. Come to me. He said, that's where you'll find peace. So God is our peace in conflict. I don't want you to raise your hand. Anybody got conflict today? Anybody in conflict? Anybody going head on with a freight train today? Anybody wake up today and have a little sparring match with the devil? You say, oh, preacher, not me. Well, then, listen, meet me after church because I need to know what your formula is, because I'm telling you, when I get out of bed, he slaps me right upside the head the moment I get out. He's waiting on me. Thing about it is sometimes I think that maybe he's brewing the coffee in there waiting on me to come sit down. And I'm just telling you, folks, that listen, he's the God of peace. Number two, God is not only the, God is our peace in conflict. Number two, God is our peace of mind. He's our peace of mind. Take your Bible, go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 real quick. Go to Philippians 4, 7. Let's read a couple of scripture here. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, folks, listen to me. We don't have time to read a bunch of these other scriptures I want to give you, but you can go and you can find basically the same thing in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 15. If you try to live the Christian life outside of the peace of God and the way God's designed it, you're going to go nuts. Because it is a spiritual life, not a fleshly life. That's the reason people, they feel like, preacher, I think I'm going crazy. Okay, time out just a minute. Okay, let's back up and let's find out, how are you approaching the Christian life? Are you trying to do the things in your own strength instead of resting in the peace of the living God and allowing Him to work all of these through you? Hey, let peace rule in your heart, the Scripture says in Galatians chapter 5. It's something that ought to be controlling you. Stop trying to understand God's ways. You're not going to understand His ways. They're far above your ways. His thoughts are far above your thoughts. You know how I'm somewhat, I said somewhat, in my right mind? Is because not too long after I got saved and got walking the Christian life, I stopped trying to figure God out and just believe the Bible. I just thought, you know what, because I ain't got enough sense to figure out everything God's doing. Because, listen, He's doing something in everybody's life. Can you imagine trying to figure out a God that's doing something in everybody's life that can understand what you're thinking and I'm thinking simultaneously? Do you know around the world that there are some people tonight thinking in Chinese or Japanese and another language? And tonight we're thinking in English. Well, Mississippian English, kind of same thing. But what I'm saying is we're thinking, and yet we serve a God that can understand all that, no problem. So you know what? It'd be kind of like that kid at the park when he sees somebody he doesn't know. You know what? It'd be okay to run to the Father, grab a hold of Him. Why? That's where the peace is. Let peace keep your mind. Just rely on God. Look, if you're still there in Philippians, look at Philippians chapter 2. You'll recognize these verses in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Look at Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. What kind of mind? God is our peace of mind. Just trust God. The reliance on self and flesh to accomplish the spiritual maturity or productivity, listen to me, I've already told you, it's going to cause you to go insane. Because you cannot acquire what needs to be acquired and do what needs to be done for God in the flesh. That's the reason that Gideon, if you'll notice there, who, me? I can't do this. God says, don't worry, I'll surely be with you. And that's where he said, calm down, man. Peace be unto thee. I've got everything under control. Let me give you the third one real quick, and that is, God is our peace in service. He's our peace in service. Would you take your Bible quickly, 1 Corinthians 7, turn over there. We'll hit one more here and be done. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And notice this. Now, this is in a context here about marriage, but I want to pull a truth out of here. Verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. Listen now, but God hath called us to what? To peace. And he's talking about believing and unbelieving. And yet, you know what the scripture says? God says, if it be possible, we're to live peaceably with all men. Now, I understand the Holy Ghost said, if it possible. Because you know what? There's just some cases, it just ain't possible. There's just some situations that, listen, you can do everything you want, they just want conflict. So all I'm saying to you is God is our peace in service. What he will do, church, listen, display the right testimony before people. Dwell with each other, the scripture says, according to knowledge. Not just a husband and wife, but listen, you know what? That truth can go just as well for us together as well. We need to dwell with each other according to knowledge. Hey, mamas and daddies, husbands and wives, kids, everybody in here, do you know what buttons to push and not to push in somebody's life? Oh, yes. So don't touch the button. Because if you'll just keep your finger off the button, you know what there will be? Peace that passeth all understanding. But you know what? And just sometimes, you know how the little flesh, you just get away from you? You thought, man, I tell you what, I wonder what would happen if I just pushed that button one time. Well, I tell you what, why don't you check it out and see what happens? You may not live to push it again. But Christianity, listen to me now, is a religion of peace. And you know that most of the world thinks we're weak because of that? But we're a religion of peace. You say, how do we know that? Because when they took Jesus and crucified him, the scripture said he didn't even open his mouth. You see, some will attempt to take advantage of that. But even peace has its boundaries and its limits. Peace is the power to produce. And let me finish and say this. You know, once the angel of the Lord said, peace be unto thee, I will surely be with thee. Man, I'm telling you, Gideon felt that safety and prosperity of God through the peace of God so much that he built an altar unto the Lord. He said, I'm going to call this Jehovah Shalom. God, the Lord of peace. Now, may I remind you, church, that we serve the same God of Gideon. And he today is telling us, peace be unto thee. Fear not. Let me read you a verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 11. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Listen to this. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now folks, I don't know about you, but I kind of enjoy having peace of mind. But all of that came through the Lord. And listen, Gideon didn't have it until God proved himself mighty. Initially, all negative. Where are the miracles? God's forsaken us. He's put us out here, and now these Midianites are going to pillage our land and pillage our homes and spoil our families. And God said, listen, peace be unto thee. Once he got that confidence, go read the rest of the story. Listen. The Midianites, they didn't even have a weapon with them. Bunch of candles, bunch of pots, busted them. Midianites looked around. We're dead meat. They didn't even, listen, not any bloodshed. And he did all that with just a handful of people. Let me say, if God can defeat an entire army like the Midianites with a candle, a pot, and just a handful of people, and a shout, the sword of the Lord in Gideon, if God can do all of that, I wonder what He could do in your life. I just wonder if you just lived in the peace of God, I wonder if He could do some miracles in your life. Because it was a miracle. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? How many can say, preacher, without a shadow of a doubt, already been born again, know it, no question about it. Slip your hand up and say, I'm already saved. I've already had a born again experience with Jesus Christ. I know it. If the Lord came back tonight, I'm with Him forever. All right, God bless you. You can put your